Hi there. Happy Friday. Welcome to Divine Connections. You're here with Lynn Bleasdale and my two beautiful co-hosts, Sue Fields Gallimonti and Jessica Marie Tatro, who also comes with Jaden. And I guess, Sue, you work with Sylvia Brown a lot, so you come with company,
yeah,
too. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, and welcome. I'm so glad everybody's tuning in tonight, and we have some interesting topics to talk about, the various techniques and practices that we can use to connect and to enhance our connection to our spirit, our sacred selves, and to the spirit realm, our spirit guides, our loved ones in spirit, that whole beautiful realm that we all miss so much sometimes. Oh, wow. We were just making fun of crystal balls and stuff like that and tools like that, but those can be like a valid, I suppose, but you got to joke about stuff, right? But, you know, there are valid tools that people use, but there's also like psychological techniques and, you know, you can do it without equipment. But anyway, Jessica and Sue, I'm going to like just like throw that question out to you. What do you two use to enhance your connection to spirit?
I'll go ahead and go.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, go ahead, Jeff.
Well, I think we've all heard it before that, you know, we are all born with, you know, our spiritual abilities and gifts intact. That's part of our, I think, our innate nature. But I believe that some of us can have, you know, it a little more. Some of us can be tapped in a little bit more. Doesn't mean it's not there for others. And we've heard it many times that it's almost like a muscle. And I believe that, because if you are not aware that you even have those, you know, those abilities, whichever they may be the strongest for you. I mean, and there's so many, you may not even be aware of it. I think the first thing that's key is being aware of your own innate gifts and abilities that we all have. One way that I had discovered kind of my, they call it psychic intuition, is a little more on the stronger side, and ways that I had used techniques to kind of, it's like practice. It's, you know, just like anything really. But one technique I would use, it's kind of funny, but it's so effective for me. I would get on YouTube and I would watch like, you know, a crime investigation type video. And I would watch only like the first 3 minutes of it to, you know, get some idea of what was going on before I watched the end. And then so I would pause it about, you know, before midway, and I'd get out my notebook, and I'd, just from what I heard from the very beginning, you just kind of write what comes to your mind. And then you can write your answers down as to what you feel, how you feel, you know, whatever's being investigated went or whichever. And then watch it to the end, you know, push play again, watch to the end and see how many of them you got right, you know, based off the ending and result. So I always thought it was a really neat way, kind of a technique to practice. Sometimes I would get things right. Sometimes I would miss things, but, and that's just another thing. I think with anyone's abilities or gifts, whether it be, you know, in the healing arts or clairvoyant, clairaudient or channeling or psychic intuition, they all kind of go with exercises in a way, I think and believe. But that's kind of my technique, and I've found it very effective, and I've gotten even better over time. So it's really neat.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah. I know for me, this is Sue. For me, meditation helped a lot. It's I found when I regularly would meditate that my senses were opened up more and the messages would come in clearer. And I agree, practice is essential. Sylvia had told me years and years ago when I watched different psychics doing live performances or reading, things like that, when the callers would call in, for me to write down the messages I got and compare them to the messages that the psychics got. And that helped a lot. Any kind of practice, and if you need tools, use tools, whatever it takes for you to be comfortable. But I think one of the most important things is trust.
Yes.
You have to trust yourself and the messages you're getting. Us as psychics and mediums, when we do a reading, it's not meant for us to understand what the message is. It is for the person that is receiving the reading. So even if it doesn't make sense to us, we have to trust in our, excuse me, in our guides and our angels and in God with the messages that we're receiving, and we just deliver what we get.
Mm-hmm.
So meditation, practice, and trust, I think, are very important.
Absolutely. Yeah. Very much so. Let's see. This is Lynn, and I've got a few notes that I made on this. And I guess Sue and Jessica also covered the thing about tools. Like, whatever tools work for you, go for it. It's a good idea not to become totally reliant on the tools, though.
Right.
Yeah. I remember I got a lovely reading with, oh no, I was reading for her, but Alana Clark is a past life medium. And I guess that's a medium. I'm not sure. Anyway, she does past life readings. And she told me when I was reading for her, we were using the light, the little flashlight that I use. And she said, you know, you don't need that, right? And I kind of went, oh, you're right. And it woke me up to the fact that I don't need that tool. It's nice to use it. And when I'm working with someone who has a really, really high vibration, they will be able to use the light and answer sort of yes, no questions. So it's a cool thing to have, but not to rely on. And I wrote down.
Right.
Because if you're like, what happens if you're, you know, stuck without your crystal ball and you have to like wing it? Like, you have to, you know, you have to be able to, you know, receive the messages. And we were talking earlier before the show started about how it's harder for a psychic or a medium to read people that are close to them. And it is. And we all sort of noticed that, you know, the sort of closer you are to someone. And maybe it's because you know them so well that you're almost worried if it's you, you know, picking up little cues or something like that. But that takes me to the next thing, is getting out of our own way. And, you know, the monkey mind, getting that monkey mind to serve you rather than to be its servant. Because that's where I think a lot of readers get in trouble when they're starting out. Is it me doing that, or are those real? Well, it's you're one and the same, right? That's your sacred self getting the messages. And I think what we're talking about is the ego getting out of the way, right? And ego,
I agree.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ego speak. The ego talks to you about how you're not good enough. Because you think of ego as being something, well, that makes me feel very, very confident. But really, the ego also speaks to you of your deficiencies. Because the ego says, no, you're not good enough. That next person is better. Or you watch, you know, the professionals. You watch Sylvia Brown or James von Prague, John Edward, guys like that. And you're like, well, I'll never be as good as them. But that's the ego speaking. You got to quiet that nasty little guy. He's like, shut up. Divination tools. Yeah, oh, yeah, the divination tools. It's kind of like tools category, but still, very often you can use any book that you want as a, like a ching. When you need an immediate message, you can go to a book, or you can do it, you know, by pulling up a search engine or looking outside and seeing a bird on a branch. Like, the signs are all very unique to each person, but noticing those signs when they come. So if you open a book and it has just the right message for you, for what you need right now, and that's actually what I asked for. I said, please show me what I need right now, and it'll come through. That's divination. The last thing I had was mindfulness practice, because if we can't keep ourselves in the present moment, which is the only reality we actually have, if there is such a thing as reality, the mindfulness keeps us from dwelling in the past or the future, staying in the present moment, because that's where the messages are coming through. I remember a signal I got, or like a message from spirit. It was pretty prosaic too. I had left a bathtub running, and then I allowed my mindfulness to slip. I got involved with something, and I was dicking around with something, and suddenly I heard loud and clear, "You left the water running." And I had indeed, it was about to overflow. So sometimes a message will come through just like that, like a slap upside the head over something, you know, saving you from doing something dumb, walking into a bus or something like that.
Ladies, did you just hear a male voice come through?
No, but I was yakking away there, so I wasn't really.
I didn't hear it.
Play it back, though.
Yeah. What I did want to say, though, along with that, you know, just kind of busting some of the, you know, psychic, you know, myths out there.
Yeah.
That a lot of people, you know, I mean, we were just kind of joking about it before the show, but a lot of people, I guess, assume that we can always predict, like, the future. And that's not correct either, because we do have free will, and nothing is set in stone. So when we give like a psychic prediction, that's what it is. It's just a it's a potential. It's a potential that can be altered or changed by free will. So, I definitely wanted to clarify that too. There was something else. I think, we are also kidding about, you know, making jokes before the show about, you know, how some people come to you and they want answers for, like, maybe, you know, lottery tickets or a scratcher or something like that. And it just, what I want to say to that is, you know, when you go innately and you use those gifts, it kind of goes along with having a moral code as to what's appropriate and what isn't. I don't know if I explained that right, but do you guys know what I'm saying?
Yeah. These gifts the abilities are to serve others, not to serve ourselves.
Right.
Yeah, and going back to talking about the tools and like your flashlight, no, you don't need it, but that's confirmation.
It is.
And we all at times need confirmation. And I mean, there's times that I use tools. It's like I wanted for years to get a crystal ball. Well, I finally got a crystal ball. I worked and worked and worked and worked with that thing, and I get nothing. And then one day, a friend of mine contacted me, and she said, "I need your help. My friend's brother is missing. Can you help us?" And something right away clicked. I heard the voice like you were talking about, Lynn, get the ball. And I went and I got my crystal ball, and the pictures just came through like one right after another.
Oh, wow.
So for me, And I used it also when a friend got hold of me and her horse was missing. And she said, are you picking up anything? And I used my gift, but also the ball for help, and got the pictures to confirm what messages I was getting.
Wow, that's the way to use tools.
Yeah. And then there's times that I will use divining rods.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, we know when we go into a house, we know if there's activity. We just know.
Oh,
but
yeah.
We feel the energy. So the energy is so intense completely around us. Sometimes it's hard to pinpoint exactly where that energy is coming from.
Yes.
So
I will
use the divining rods in an instance like that to break through the cloud of energy and pinpoint on where I'm supposed to be directed.
Excellent. Yeah. That's what tools are all about, aren't they? And
it's a visual confirmation. You know, I mean, Jaden can reach out and touch me, and I can feel his energy. But in the beginning, when he first crossed over, I couldn't, because I just, you know, the grief kind of overshadowed. So, you know, he started getting my attention with the housefly. And that's how it started. I mean, it's as simple as, you know, because we're human, you know, we're human beings. We use our five senses, and it's a visual confirmation. And so they know that that's a tangible way for us to know, for confirmation. So I think it's really neat. I think it's awesome.
Yeah, it is. Yep. So I don't know if we had a conclusion to draw from this. It's just, you know, whatever works for the individual is what works.
Absolutely.
You can also, and like Sue was saying, like, you know, sometimes something won't work for you, but then the time becomes right and the tool begins to work. The card deck that I use now, I had to sit on it. It was given to me by a very, very beautiful soul that I met. And she said, I think this deck is yours. And so, but I couldn't use it for about 5 years. It hung in a place where I talked to it and I sort of looked at it and got energy going with it. And then one day the deck worked. It was my deck then. It wasn't my deck until that point. And that is so weird.
Yeah.
And it sounds so woo-woo, right? But we all know what we're talking about. And that is so cool.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, when I first started doing readings publicly, I would use my angel cards.
Mm-hmm.
Because for one reason, I didn't have enough confidence in myself and my gifts. So I relied a lot on the cards, but I would go right from the cards into a regular reading. So that's why I considered them an icebreaker.
Mm-hmm.
It would help me relax and tune into where I needed to be. Plus, it would also help my client be able to accept the messages that I was delivering, in my opinion, my little mind, you know?
Yeah. I think that's really, really cool.
I think that tools can be, you know, used for transitional purposes too. They kind of helps you out in one area and you can kind of transition to the next, or, you know what I mean? Or use it as a stepping stone. I mean,
Mm-hmm.
However it works for, and everyone's so individual.
Yeah, you guys heard of a scrying mirror? I'm sure you have. It's that those mirrors and I remember the first time I tried one, I got so freaked out and scared. I went whoop, whoop, whoop out of the room I was using. It was too soon to start. I wasn't ready to see to or hear, you know what I mean? I was too young, I think.
Right.
And Yeah, and you can get into the same kind of trouble using like a Ouija board, something like that. They are not inherently dangerous. It's the user that determines the nonsense that goes on, right? And usually I find when you're trying to connect spirit that there's like a giggle fest going on, they just won't bother. Not that they don't love you, but it's too difficult when people are doing it for entertainment purposes, right? It's like, why bother, you know? So.
Yeah, if you're just using it for entertainment and to be silly, then they're not going to come through and give you anything.
No, because the energy's absolutely wrong. Einstein put it very well. Mm-hmm. Everything is energy, and all you have to do is get to the same frequency as what you're looking for, and you can't help but attain it. Mm-hmm. And he said, this is not philosophy, this is physics, which is kind of amazing and astonishing, but you know, you can feel that to be true.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. You know, the energy is so important. It's just like with our callers, or if we sit down to do a reading with someone, if they have a negative or a closed energy, they're not going to get the reading that they want. They're not going to get the reading they deserve. You have to have positive, open energy and be willing to accept what's there.
That's
huge.
Mm-hmm. Plus the expectation gets, if you come in with all these expectations, like you're just asking for disappointment. It's very very Buddhist if you think about it. You know, the attachment can really throw you. Well, you guys, I'm so glad I work with you. I learned so much from you both, and you're both uniquely talented. So you know, it's like having a whole bunch of different kinds of chocolates in the same chocolate box. That's quite lovely.
Thank you,
you
well. Lynn.
You as
absolutely. You as well.
Yeah. Okay, well, we have a lovely patient. I think Nathaniel had been waiting to come on, but we've lost him. So call back if you want,
like
Nathaniel. But we do have a caller waiting. If anyone wants to call in, please call 646-564-9868. And we're going to take our first caller tonight, and that's area code 614. That would be Ohio, right?
No, it's from Australia.
Australia.
Hello, ladies. How are you?
Lovely. Wow. I looked up the postal area code, and it said Ohio. This is wonderful. Well, geez, you guys are like 16 hours difference. What time is it there?
Yeah. It's now 8:30 in the morning on Saturday.
Well, happy Saturday. Could we get your first name, please? This is lovely.
I'm Jessica, and I love your show. And, I'm so glad I connect today. And I love all your stories. It's so inspiring.
How lovely.
Thank you.
Thank you. Wow.
And, I just want to connect in and see if there's any message for me. I'm actually going through a very big change of my life. You know, I left my relationship, like my marriage for 10 years, and I left everything, and I do this new thing, this healing practice that I do, and everything's so exciting. But,
so,
anything from me, that would be great.
Did you say, Jessica, that you'd lost, your marriage has ended?
Yeah, I left. It's hard. It's still in the healing process for him. But, and me as well. But,
That's okay. No, this is okay. I'm getting the image of the phoenix. Like it feels like you are in the process of rising from the ashes of your previous life. And well, the phoenix it's a pretty obvious symbol. You know, is what it is about rebirth.
Yeah,
and
rebirth.
Reclaiming your soul. the message that I'm getting was that you were beginning to disappear in the marriage.
Oh. Okay.
The, what we call your sacred self, the soul that you are, that was beginning to become submerged somehow. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
Right. So you had to do it. It wasn't like a choice you had. But I am going
to... Yeah, I just feel like I had to do it. And even though it, you know, hurt everyone around me, you know, like my families and the ex-husband, he was a wonderful person and everything. But I just knew so strongly in my heart I have to do it. Yeah.
Yep. Well, that's, again, it's because you were, you know, the story with the Alice in Wonderland where the Cheshire Cat just disappears and is nothing but a grin. It gives me that image of you slowly disappearing.
Wow.
And that's not a good thing. I've pulled out my deck and I'm just pulling up a card for you. Okay. Now, I'm going to look this card up, and in the meantime, I'm just going to turn you over to Sue and Jessica and see what comes in for them, and then I'll come back so I don't make clicky sounds while I type.
Thanks, Lynn.
Okay, here we go.
I could go.
Sure, go ahead.
Hi, Jessica. This is Jessica.
Hello,
when you were telling your story, I was just shuffling my cards and thinking about my own story in the process, you know, that I think so many of us, you know, go through this kind of rebirthing and shedding of, you know, almost what no longer serves us. And this card flew out for you. I pull cards from your guides and stuff like that. For messages, and this one says, follow your bliss. I think they're trying to say now is the time for you. The emotion of happiness is like a beacon calling you to follow its light. When you get this card, think of this saying, if it feels good, do it. The physical reactions that you have when you do something that makes you happy are like signposts from your guides pointing you in the right direction. Whether you are consciously aware of it or not, there are unique lessons to be learned by following your bliss. Think of the sensations of fulfillment and satisfaction as pearls that are strewn before your soul's journey. They lead you in the right direction. Conversely, if something makes you feel fatigued or bored, that is also a sign that you have ventured onto a path that won't ultimately fulfill your soul's blueprint on Earth. On Earth, you will be compelled to various interests or desires. This is because you are coming closer to your soul's nature. Following your dream is also about letting yourself express your joy. In doing so, you are in alignment with your personal truth. Oh, I love this card for you. So that's what I had gotten for you. I wish you so much love.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Jess.
That was beautiful.
You're welcome.
Hi, Jessica. This is Sue. I completely agree. Hi, sweetie. I completely agree with Jessica. This is the time for you. Everything that you have suppressed that makes you happy, this is the time for you to be moving forward on all of that. Like she said, find your bliss. Whatever it is that you're looking for, now is the time. Reach for the golden ring. Go for it. Don't hold yourself back. Go for it. Enjoy your life. It should be like a big party for you right now. Just absolutely everything that
totally.
Yeah, there's so many big changes coming for you, big changes. And it's time to really just step up and grasp it. Anything that you used to want to do that you couldn't do because of the relationship or the family or whatever, now's the time to say, this is about me, and I'm going for it. I'm so excited for the changes that are all coming. Are you looking for a new job, a new career of some type, some changes in career-wise?
Yeah, I am actually.
Okay, get ready, because it's coming. It is coming.
What? Wonderful.
There's so many things that are changing for you. So many. Just enjoy it. That's what I have for you, sweetie. Lynn, are you ready for Jessica?
Yep. Yeah, I had the mute on there. A bunch of things came in. Now, the card that turned up was the Nine of Wands, Jessica. And it comes as a sign that even in the face of adversity, you are standing tall and strong. And you may be on the edge of exhaustion, but you are resilient, persistent, and ready to do what it takes to get to the finish line. The card comes along just to remind you not to give up. I hope you'll look up the Nine of Wands online yourself to get more of this. So I'm just reading the points for you. But the Nine of Wands asks you to trust that you're just having a test and that you know you every time you overcome an obstacle, you get stronger. You have the inner resources necessary to overcome any difficulty you encounter, even though you might think it's impossible. You see this as an assurance that you will eventually prosper if you maintain your position and keep trying. So keep pushing. You're close to the finish line and don't give up. It talks about not giving up, and it talks about establishing boundaries and fiercely protecting those boundaries. And if other people, and this, actually I hear Ryan reminding us that what other people think of us is none of our business. So don't let other people trigger you or cast doubt because you have a clear vision. I see like your third eye having like 20/20 vision. I guess you can only have 20 vision with a third eye, but anyway, you have a sharp sense of where you're going. And so, but it's a good one. Bring your conscious awareness to how you are proactively using boundaries to protect your energy. And then I wrote down, so now you know what it feels like to know what you don't want, because you're very familiar with the feeling of what you don't want. And that's your soul howling at you. So now they ask you to remember, to recall and relearn what the good feeling, the things you do want, that your soul goes, yes, more of that, please. Remember, you have to just remember that feeling and start to use that. And the more you put out that gratitude. Oh, that was something I forgot to mention. One of the best spiritual tools is gratitude. Sorry, I meant to slip that in earlier. But the thing is, the more gratitude you have for what's going right, the more that's going to come to you. And they're talking about frequency. Do you ever work with sound in your meditations?
Yeah, I do make sound sometimes when it just come out, yeah.
Yeah, they're suggesting to you that sound speaks to you very clearly, like it's one of the strong energies for you, sound. And so things like, if you look up the solfeggio frequencies, you can find that online, and use those a little bit. Notice which ones help and which ones irritate, because you're going to find different frequencies cause different reactions. But they're suggesting that sound is a really good spiritual tool for you. And I'm getting, do you know how they say that it might be the light at the end of the tunnel or it might be a train coming at you? And the light at the end of your tunnel glows with a rosy color to me, which I translate as love. And I think it's self-love first, and then love just pours into you. Yeah, but it's not a train coming at you. It is a light at the end of the tunnel, and you. I think you are very close to your, not the finish line, so to speak, but the sort of the hurdle that you've been trying to surmount as you go along. And it's like, watch out, world, because once you start to manifest, it tumbles in. And I think we're talking about abundance, not just, you know, abundance in the physical world, but learning. I think once you start learning about your own abilities, you're going to be like, you know, running away. Like just, you're going to be running with it. So keep working on your abilities. And I think you're going to really just blow your own mind with what you've got going on that's been lying dormant. Do Jessica and Sue, do you feel that too? There's like gifts that haven't been used in a while.
Oh, yeah.
And,
yeah.
And they're just, you can hear them like, let us out. So, you know.
Yeah.
I think, yeah. So just keep on doing that. And do call us back. Let us know how you're doing, because I think, you know, you're just, you're on the verge of surprising yourself with what's actually been going on for years. And she's a beautiful soul, that soul of Jessica. So once you begin to embrace her, it's all going to start to roll for you like a smooth stretch of highway, as Little Feet puts it.
Oh, that's beautiful. Thank you so much. Everyone, your messages really resonate. And I've seen like that twice the last 2 weeks. And I'm like, wow, it's like, and I looked it up. It's about, you know, the old die and the rebirth, you know, death and rebirth. And also thinking of moving away. So at the moment I'm in Perth, Western Australia. So I'm thinking of moving to the east, you know, to Queensland or New South Wales. So, yeah. And it's like, I just feel like big change is coming and, and a lot of healing along the way, obviously.
Absolutely.
But thank you so much.
Yeah, it's the call of the heart is what's coming through. They're saying it's the call of the heart, which is such a romantic way to put
absolutely.
It, but you can hear it. And, oh, how beautiful, Jessica. Please let us know how it goes, would you? I think you're on a good road. Mm-hmm.
Perfect. Thank you so much, ladies. You have a great evening.
Thank you, and love and light to you. Have a lovely morning.
Much gratitude.
Okay. Bye-bye, hon.
Thank you.
All right. Well, wasn't that lovely? Oh, man.
Oh, that was
our
neat.
Next. So, hi, Nathaniel. How are you doing tonight?
Well, I'm doing okay. How are you doing?
We're good. I think we're all good, you know, staying on the surfboard, as they say. What can we do for you tonight? Did you have a question or?
I just wanted to see if you could break out that crystal ball and see anything. I'm just kind of wondering anything, general message, but I'm not really, Angie got upset and she's not talking to me now.
Oh, that's that lady. She's like a person that rents in the same house as you. Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
I left a message on her. I texted her a few messages.
Yeah.
And she didn't want me to text. Kind of confusing. And then so she had asked the other two guys to not to talk to her that I live with, so it's kind of uncomfortable. I was going to move, but it was it's so hard to find a place, and I have so much stuff to move, and coordinating the time to move, with a new place, and seemed to be pretty So I wanted to see what you guys thought about it.
Wow.
Hi, Nathaniel. This is Sue.
I don't
think that you would necessarily have to move, hon, unless that's what you feel you need to do. I think just a cordial roommate, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and go about your day. And move on with your life.
We're not even up to that, I don't think. She doesn't, I mean, she wants me to leave the kitchen, you know, if she comes in the kitchen.
Yeah, she's got a lot of issues, so.
Well, she came in today and she was crying. You know, she was just weeping and crying, and she looked at the other two guys and she was crying. And I don't know if it was like crocodile tears, but she was thinking, you know. So I'm not sure what it was all about, but I guess, you know, I'm bothering her, you know. So.
Yeah, I think she.
Well, she really needs to be by herself.
She
really needs
drama.
To be by herself. What's that?
I think she likes drama. She likes attention.
She wants to do this, but she's dictatorial, and you know, this is the kind of thing. I guess I shouldn't really be emotionally involved with her anyway, or anybody else there, and you know, I'll just have to detach, and you know, not, you know, I won't care about people, you know.
You can care about her still. You can care about people without being directly involved. I mean, a stranger. You see a stranger fall down, you care if they get hurt. You don't have to be emotionally invested in them. It's just that, you know, that's how we are. We care about everybody and how they're feeling and what they're going through. So you can care about her. You can wish her well. You can send her good vibes. Just keep your distance, honey. She's not for you. Not at all. There's someone out there, and as long as you've got that little bit of a door there because of the emotions for her, the door's not open enough for the other to come in.
Yeah. Well, I don't think, you know, it's definitely at the point where we can't even have a, you know, a short conversation now. And
no.
She's talking to you guys, and I just bothered her. I was texting her. I said I found her underwear and stuff in the washer, and then I took them out and put them up, and that was, you know, I thought, well, you know, it's time to do some things, but, you know, I should have asked her to move it, but.
I wouldn't even try. It's not worth your energy. She's not receptive. And
just
it's like,
totally,
okay, if you find a piece of her laundry again, lay it on top of the dryer. Let her find it herself. And don't even tell her. You know, it's just.
Yeah,
if
I was going to do that, I probably should have just left it up there, you know, and not said anything with this, you know, so. You know, but I probably should have just asked her to, you know, or just waited to do a wash. But at this point, you know, I really can't even talk to her at all. And I don't know how much I'll be talking to two roommates, you know. And I wanted to ask, you know, the other room, hey, you know, just cut this out and start talking again. You know, we're family here. But, you know, I have to wait for her to, you know, to the single, but I'm really not so sure. She seems to be, you know, she needs so much time by herself, and she feels so misunderstood that, you know, she's kind of a psycho case in a sense where she needs so much time alone, because she comes home and, you know, after work, and, you know, either goes to sleep, and she closes the room, and sometimes she comes out, and, you know, she goes back in her room, you know, so.
Yeah, she doesn't want friends. She just wants roommates that live in the same house, but she doesn't want a relationship with anybody. She has a lot of baggage that she's carrying herself, but the majority of the baggage that she's carrying is brought on by her own actions, her own attitude, her own way of thinking. So, you know, just wish her well and move on, honey. You don't need that crap.
Yeah.
You
Somebody
don't.
Said her it's, boyfriend it's broke up cool. with her. Her boyfriend broke up with her for another lady, and she wants to figure out why and everything. So, you know.
Probably
I,
a lady that wasn't a nutcase.
Yeah, she does. You know, she seems to be real friendly and has a really friendly, sweet voice. But underneath, she seems to be, you know, a different, you know, it's a different kind of a, you know, Jekyll and Hyde type thing.
I was going to say it's almost like multiple personalities, like two different people in one body.
Yeah, that's actually, you know, because she has a really, you know, she's really to her. You know, so she doesn't really, and we'll see what happens, because the other roommate seems to be really, you know, they're eating together and they're a lot, you know, like he's a Muslim, so he's really strictly religious and he has a wife and stuff, so they kind of, you know, his wife may get upset, you know, with the relationship, you know, so I don't know. But I guess I really shouldn't worry about it. I'm just, you know, I'm just living in the same house, and you know, I just have to let her go. Let go, let go, let go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, Lynn and Jeff, what do you have
right?
for?
What's that?
What do you ladies have for Nathaniel tonight?
Jess, do you want to go ahead?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry, I thought you said Lynn.
Nope.
Hi, Nathaniel. This is Jessica.
I feel really strange about this. It's making me feel really bad about myself, kind of, or, you know, kind of humiliating me and stuff, kind of in a sense where she's, you know, but she's just kind of standoffish and, you know, that kind of thing. But go ahead, I'm sorry.
Okay,
yeah.
Nathaniel, with you allowing her to make you feel that way, what are you seeing in yourself that she is bringing to the surface? Is there something about you that you need to change that you're feeling that way? Normally, if we allow somebody to make us feel a way, it's because of something we have to change within ourselves. So, I mean, you don't have to answer me. Just think about it. Take a real hard look and be completely honest with yourself and say, what is going on with me that I am allowing her to make me feel this way? Why am I allowing these feelings to come? What do I need to change to improve myself for every relationship in my life and for myself?
Okay. Well, I really have to detach and let go and really not look at her, think about her, or talk to her, or, you know, just get her out of my life at all.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Jeff. Go ahead, honey.
Oh, that's okay. Hi, Nathaniel. I remember this conversation, I think, from last week, and I'm sorry to hear that, you know, you're struggling with it so much. I think we kind of covered a lot of this last week, but again, I think, you know, just this being a continuance of basically a conversation, which is so awesome, and we're always so grateful for you to call back in. So I agree with what Sue was saying, because she, you know, she probably just has a different path than you, but she does not sound like she's healthy for you at this time at all. And then I think just part of that is, you know, what you said is just process through this, to help you process through this, to detach from that energy. And I, I think you're right, that maybe just getting away from it might help. I don't know if she's willing to leave or, you know, if that causes a fight.
I gave my notice about a week ago or on Saturday, and then I started looking for places and thinking about all the stuff I have to move and stuff. I think I'm going to have to wait a couple months. Somebody said if you wait like 2 months, you know, something might open up. You know, if I meet another gal, if I move into her or something,
right.
Or, you know, that might be a lot easier than trying to get another place, because I looked at Craigslist for room for rent, and a lot of people are having, you know, like Roomster, so you got to sign up for a, you know, a thing, you know, and so
yeah.
I'll just have to, you know, and it's going to be kind of hard, you know, to move all my stuff, because I put all the stuff in storage out, and then, you know, I have a lot of stuff in the bathroom. You know, and then I have a big bathroom, so I have a bath and a shower.
But
what's that?
Oh, I said, I was just listening to what you were saying. I said, oh, that's nice to have a big bathroom and such. But I also wanted to tell you that, or to say that if, you know, it's not possible you moving out at you know, this time, I would definitely recommend just putting, like, an intention to put boundaries around yourself so you're kind of not affected by her energy or allowing her to affect you. Just kind of, you know, until you can find a place, that's what I would recommend.
Yeah, see, but finding a place, see, I have to give 30-day notice, but if I find a place, they're going to want me to move in right away, or in 10 days or so, it's going to become available. So it's just at work, you know, and then I was going to tell the guy, you know, well, you know, I don't know how to coordinate this, so he's going to want to show the other room. So I'm just going to have to just detach and, you know, just detach from her and let go, let her go.
Yeah. I think that would definitely be best, Nathaniel. You deserve so much better than that. No one deserves that.
Yeah. I was hoping for kind of a general message, too. I didn't even want to bring it up, but, you know, it's, you know.
Lynn, did you want to... take over from here. I'm going to go ahead and shuffle my deck here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, thanks a lot. I appreciate it. I didn't know if you were going to have...
Oh, absolutely, Daniel.
I called in earlier, and the show was only going to be a half hour. And I thought, oh, well, I guess I won't get in, but I called back, and I guess...
Oh, go ahead, Lynn. I'm just shuffling right now.
Yeah. We're having a little bit of sound problems. I'm not sure. Are you outside, Nathaniel? Or... Oh, okay, because we're picking up a lot of ambient sound. However, I'll give you what I've got here for you. This woman, it's a bit of an amusing little metaphor, but it's like a sign that says wet paint. And human nature often says, I need to touch that to find out if it really is true, if it's wet. And it's like you're almost drawn to this woman like a moth to a flame. But I wrote down, and Sue said this to you too, you're giving away your power. And it's almost like acquiescing in your own exploitation, right? This woman feels very much like what we call an energy vampire. And
wow.
So, yeah, really, there's no end to how much you can give, because she will take and take and take and take. And the fact that you, I think you were friendly to her and she's gone all ice cold on you. I think unless you're like a real masochist, you know, that's a really good indication that you can pull your energy back with very little worry. Care with a long stick. I can't. Oh, okay. I don't know. I think it's a show I've been watching where I got this image from, but she puts a glove on a long stick and pats the person on the shoulder with it because the person's contagious. But there's the contagion with this woman is not a physical element. It's a psychological and spiritual thing. And I just wouldn't get too close. And Sue also mentioned the drama queen, aspect of things. And that went, I went, yes, I'm setting off all kinds of bells going off. You are with somebody who likes the drama. It feels like she plays a kind of a victim in order to get people to care. And it's a pretty unhealthy way to give and receive love. That's actually not what love is. Love is much more powerful than that. And love doesn't hurt. If you're feeling that pain, it's because there's some kind of game being played. Just remind yourself so much that her behavior is not personal and you mustn't take it personally because, you're supposed to protect your soul, your sacred self, right? And when our energy gets drained by people that are using us, which is what I feel is happening here, you become ineffective. So when I pulled a card for you, I got the Strength reversed card in the tarot. And it says to tune into your current levels of inner strength, confidence, and self-belief. And just ask yourself, are you depleted and how can you bring these things back into balance? The setback has left you feeling vulnerable and lacking in self-confidence, but your core strength is still there and it's time to reconnect with your own power. You are more resilient and strong than you give yourself credit for. You need to be kind to yourself. You can also be kind to this woman by just not offering your energy like that, because she will not use it carefully. She will not use it lovingly and she will not reciprocate. So it'll be a one-way street for you, giving, giving, giving. And if you want to know what a bottomless pit looks like, keep, trying with her. And you really do deserve better than that. Energy levels right now. You may be sluggish, particularly if you've been dedicating yourself to serving others or pushing hard to achieve a goal. The reversed strength card is your invitation to take stock and restore your energy levels. And by resting and withdrawing for a temporary period, it's important to take care of yourself right now. So be very, very careful of what you're offering and don't. It's like living, it's like giving somebody your capital. You know what I mean? You can't afford to give away your core energy. And this woman, she'll be okay, but I don't think she's going to stop using people up until she's learned her lesson. And you don't have to be the means to that lesson unless you choose to be. So it's really about whether you give her permission to deplete you or do you say see ya babe. You know what I mean? So Jessica, did you find a card popped out?
Oh yeah, this one literally kind of did like a double flip. This is a message the guides want you to know right now, and I'm not sure if you're just worrying a whole lot right now, but the card I got for you is worry is a wasted emotion. Your body is responding to the energy that you send out. It reacts to every thought as thought, as though it were real. When we create a thought of worry, it tells the body that it needs to defend itself against something foreign, and this interrupts its normal balance and harmony, just as Lynn was talking about, kind of time to come into balance. So it says worry creates toxicity in the body and depresses the energetic flow that can create disease or imbalance. anytime, any place, this card appears for you, you must step back and look at your life objectively. Ask yourself, has worry ever changed the outcome of a situation? There's no question that the emotion worry is real. It does have energy, but it has no power to alter the result. The only power it has is to affect you. The tendency to worry is definitely a learned trait, although it may also have a genetic component. Your guides are urging you to see this energy for what it is, a waste of time and trouble. Do not give in to it. Instead, take steps to remove any possible energy that no longer serves you in your coming path. Oh, I like that. It's, oh gosh, it's a great card for you.
Very nice.
Again, it's kind of reinforcing where you're at and that it's time to step out of it and find that balance.
I haven't been sleeping good the last 2 or 3 weeks, or actually longer, you know, but I haven't even got any sleep. But I got the doctor to give me some Ambien, which is a controlled substance, you know. Have you ever heard of Ambien? So I got some of that, but I'm kind of tired during the day, you know, so I don't know how much, you know, to take at night. You know, or I, you know, the prescribed dose, but, you know, I don't know. At least I can get to sleep, you know.
It almost feels like you've got, this woman feels like an attachment. You know what I mean? Do you guys feel that too?
Yeah.
Well, somebody said this guy that's on the show last week, or actually he's on a show right now, Douglas Contrell. He was doing past lives, so I asked him last week, you know, what do you see me in a past life? And he said, well, I see you as a gypsy, like a vagabond, or not that is the thing where you gotta move, you know. I lived in one house but I've been moving. And then I go, well, do you see a past life with Angie? And she said, well, I see you like on a slave ship chained together.
Oh, wow.
So I think of that. But,
well, it is within your grasp to, you know, choose your own mental health. It sounds like almost like the stuff you could write a movie script out of. If you chose to pursue it, it, you know, becomes one of those bonkers movies about, you know, it just feels so unhealthy for you, this woman.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
She's born the day of clarity. It's the same day as Bach, you know, and I know the days, and it says that she's dictatorial, you know, she's getting dictatorial, and she feels misunderstood. And she has to, you know, when she's by herself, she has, like, a lot of pity parties. So I used to kind of feel sorry for her, you know, and want to try to help her, you know. But I'm just going to, you know, let her be herself, because it's probably something she can't even change anyway.
Well, it's certain that you can't change her. You can only change your reaction and response to her.
Right.
But, you know, as an empath, this is a tricky one for empaths, because we are drawn to need. We're drawn to the broken ones. And that, you have to, you know, it feels cruel not to get fully involved and save people. But you have to learn over, and, you know, I still have to learn it too. We cannot save people. We can only facilitate their own rescuing themselves, right? And this, I think you feel the brokenness in this woman, and that's the empath trying to help. But it's very much like they say, when you're rescuing a drowning person, the number one thing is to make sure you do not get drowned yourself, because very often
that's
people
true.
Who are
double drowning, shall we?
Absolutely, you know, and without meaning to. Yeah.
I'm glad you brought that I'm glad you brought that up now, because it's kind of an ironic insight, because I'm looking at it now because I am, you know, trying to save her in a sense, but I, you know, want to, like, I'm drawn to her like a light on a moth, like a moth to light. But, you know, I'm actually, you know, don't want to get drowned by her pulling me in. And she seems really sweet sometimes, but she's kind of evil. She seems to be evil in a sense. Feeling feel sorry for her. She seems just kind of small and sweet, but, you know, she's a little black widow.
That's called passive aggressive behavior. Yeah, that's called passive aggressive behavior.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, yeah, good point. Yeah, and it's up to you, Nathaniel. You can allow yourself and give yourself permission to get sucked in. And some people love that kind of stuff, like they thrive on the drama. But you strike me as someone who needs honesty and straightforwardness and to know where the other person's coming from. You know, life is meant to have surprises, but good surprises, not, oh, my goodness, this person is more psycho than I had imagined. You know, that's the kind of surprise you don't want to get yourself involved with. And it's not cruel, you know. You want, as the empath, your heart is so big and wants to help, wants to see the world all fixed and happy. but we have to sort of establish what is our responsibility and where does theirs kick in. You know, she sort of got to, you know, it's kind of an inside job for this woman, and you can, I personally, I like Sue said, I would run screaming away and, you know, as fast as you can, because she is kind of like, you know, I can feel there's a hypnotic draw she has, you know, save me, you know, kind of thing. But,
She has a soft, sweet voice sometimes. It seems to be kind of hypnotic. It seemed to be hypnotic. She's from Spain. She's from Spain, so she has kind of an accent. You know, when she was crying the other day, she was like, "Oh, things always being saved." And you know, I could tell her kind of a, you know, her accent and stuff. And, you know, she's kind of like an alien, because I don't understand people some places from other parts of the country or the world, you know. You know, Spain, just sometimes I just, you know, it's a different way, you know. And I don't know, it's just, she speaks pretty good English, but, you know, she has an accent, and, you know, she's come a long way over here. I guess she has a cousin and stuff, but it's, you know, some friends, but she might end up, you know, moving as well. But I don't think so. But we just have to see, just have to detach and let go. And I kind of didn't even want to talk about it, but I think about it. I've been thinking about it a lot, of working and stuff. So I really don't see her that much. You know, I mean, she's working, and then she stays in her room, and then she just comes out and eats, you know, and then goes back in her room, and I work, and then, you know, I go in my room. Sometimes I go in the living room, in the kitchen, you know, because I don't have a TV. She has a TV. But I go on the computer, so that, you know, it's... it's kind of, you know, it feels strange, but hey, you know, it's a, you know, at least I have a place to live, and, you know, I kind of wanted to coordinate the things, but I looked on Craigslist, and it just seemed like everybody was renting, you know, it was a, there was low price once, but it was like a roomster. You had to sign up for a certain thing, and I don't even think that that's actually a legitimate thing, because they have, like, low prices, and, you know, for this, but it's kind of a thing just to hook you to get signed up for the for their service, you know. And then, you know, you do all your credit scores and everything, and so it's more of a, you probably got to pay to do it. You know, you probably got to pay them to go out and look, you know.
Yeah. You know, you have the answers inside your heart, Nathaniel. You already know what to do. I think you just needed us to validate that for you. I mean, you know. You know.
Well, thanks a lot. You're so sweet and helpful. I really appreciate it. You understand it.
Well, we've been through stuff, you know,
really
like that. And I think we've all been through things where we've been around the emotional vampires, so we've learned to sort of go, oh, not going there anymore. You know, I think we've all,
yeah.
Sue and Jessica and I have all been in places where,
yeah,
definitely. You know you're being, yeah, and you get to know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm just going to, like, tell my roommate. You know, I don't want her to see her crying and everything. So, you know, I'm you know, happy that she's happy and, you know, not, you know, just, you know, if she doesn't want to talk to me, you know, I mean, if she wants to talk to me, then, you know, let me know. But, you know, I'm detaching, you know, I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to talk to her. You know, talk to me. And it's actually, I think that started because I was singing the song. I don't want to talk to you. I was just trying to write a song, you know, and I said, I don't want to talk to you. And I'm not sure if she heard it, and I texted her that. After she texted that, she broke up. So I may have, you know, I don't know, I may have done this, you know, whatever, but it may be good because, you know, I don't think she's got problems. You know, I ask her, hey, is there something the matter? And she goes, oh, I'm just tired. So I don't know if she just doesn't want to talk to me, or but she has a lot of problems. You know, and
mm-hmm.
she's probably a narcissist that, you know, seems sweet, but, you know, she's dictatorial and, you know, misunderstood a bit. It needs to be by herself. So, she's kind of like an alien to me or something, because I've never really met a person like this.
Mm-hmm. Well, honestly, as James Taylor advises, tend your own fire, lay low and be strong because, you know, you're obviously, there's a sort of a quantum entanglement going on. You're pulled, as you say, like a moth to a flame. So when that starts to happen, I think that's when you pull yourself back to the present moment and go, ask yourself, like, do you really want to get sucked into this vortex of her problems, or do you want to focus? I'd say pull your focus and focus on something that serves you rather than depletes you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We always have a choice. We always have a choice, even if it doesn't seem that way. You know?
So true.
Yeah. Anyway, Nathaniel, I hope that helps. Stay strong and just, you know, sometimes you've got to put your own needs first, you know, and I think you need sanity in your life and, you know, some direction and some positive energy rather than, you know, it's a beautiful energy you have as an empath, but that's where you have to be very careful to guard your energy and make sure you're not carrying other people's baggage. Or if you are, that you recognize when you're tired because it can be very tiring carrying other people's stuff for them.
Yeah. Well, thanks a lot.
I hope
I feel better. I took some Ambien, so I'm really tired. I'm not sure why my voice is kind of cracking up. I had some ginger drink, so I'm kind of like, am I going to kind of clear my throat? I'm not, sure.
Well, don't forget, we do download a lot when we're in sleep, in our dream time, in our sleep time. So,
I haven't been asleep. See, that's one thing. It's like, I'm amazing that I'm even walking and talking because mm-hmm. I slept last night and the night before because I got some Ambien. And I've been kind of groggy. I took 3 Ambien the first day. I took one, and I go, well, I'm not feeling that tired yet. You know, I'm still taking another one. And then I woke up, I go, well, I better take one and go back to bed. But I noticed how how groggy I am now. And I went to see the doctor today, and she goes, oh, do you feel any sleepiness during the day? I said, no, you know, but I do, you know, mm-hmm. I feel sleepy during the day. And so, you know, you better not even take, you know, more than one, you know. And I signed some contract to take it. I'm not exactly sure what that was all about. But my other doctor gave me it for once, you know, but she wouldn't even give it to me, you know, before.
Yeah.
But, the one doctor gave me it once, but my regular doctor, she didn't even want to give it to me. And I'm looking for some other stuff to try. Maybe I'll try some of the other stuff, you know, before. I mean, because Ambien's not supposed to, you know, need every night, you know. So maybe I have enough Ambien in me just to take stuff and sleep, you know. But, you know, I kind of don't want to be groggy during the day either, you know. So I don't know if I could take a half a pill or... You know, because I might be kind of groggy because I took three the other night.
You know, you can try some sound work. We were talking to, I think it was Jessica, we were saying about the solfeggio frequencies, sound meditations. You're better off you can do it without Ambien.
I'm using all kinds of sleep meditations on the internet, you know, like, mm-hmm. you know, the 432, you know, frequency. Mm-hmm. This one guy had a mess of fans in it. You know, he has a mess of fans, and you know, go to sleep instantly. It says on YouTube. You know, but I try it and it doesn't work. You know.
Yeah. And somebody
just
asked
stuff. Yeah. Somebody's angels to get 8 hours of sleep, and that didn't work either. You know, so.
Yeah. Well, you'll have to keep sort of searching, sniffing around for the trail, I think. But if you can not use, like, Ambien's pretty fucked up stuff, so if you can avoid it, you know, there's things you can try. You can try St. John's wort. You can try valerian root, which
I've been using valerian. I think the thing not to use melatonin because your brain or your, you know, glands and stuff make melatonin. So if you take melatonin, your brain gets a signal not to make it. And I think that's kind of what's happened now. That's what's kind of happened now, you know?
Yeah. It's the same with those reuptake inhibitors. They, your brain starts to stop doing it itself for it. So they're very dangerous. so if you can find something, I mean, I do believe, Sue, are a heavy study student of nature's medicines. Anything you can think of that would be less, you know?
I'm big for the melatonin. Even though our body does produce melatonin, the supplements that we buy, it like assists our body. It doesn't overpower or change anything like the chemicals do. That chamomile is real big, chamomile. If you can stand it, lavender. I cannot stand lavender. It makes me sick to my stomach. Just the smell of it. But lavender is very good for relaxation. I can't think right off the top of my head, but chamomile and the melatonin, those are the two biggest that I would go to because, like I said, it assists your body. It doesn't chemically mask or induce anything.
Mm-hmm.
And you can start out with the melatonin. You can start out with real low doses and go higher if you need to.
I'm pretty high doses. I got some spray from Ingenix, or what is it, Isagenix? I got their spray, and it's supposed to be really pure and, you know, everything. And it still wasn't working, you know. That's why I had to go to the Ambien, you know. I mean, I have some other stuff that has 10 milligrams of melatonin, 10 milligrams of, like, some valerian, chamomile, and what's passion flower or something in it. And I took a couple of those capsules, so I'm taking 20 grams of melatonin. And, you know, I still don't have been able to sleep. And that's why, yeah. I mean, I'm not exactly sure what's going on, you know, but, and I've gotten some massages and, you know, taking the hot baths. I'm really a quagmire, you know, about my sleep. So I don't know, you know, and I used to have these dreams around. I went to heaven and I used to have these awesome dreams, you know, and I really haven't been able to remember many of my dreams. And, you know, I'm at work now at an abandoned lumber yard, so I'm working now, and but it's a security guard job. I just get an abandoned lumber yard for today, but I have to work for I have to work to 11, so and then I have to work at 8 o'clock in the morning, so you know, I have to go to sleep right away, you know, when I get home. You know, I don't know whether to stick one or to try, you know.
Yeah, just Ambien scares me because there's so many bad side effects with it. But if it works for you, that's great. But I would say, you know,
groggy
avoid
and stuff. And
yeah.
Being kind of groggy, feeling dead.
You know, just try to avoid any kind of stimulants, caffeine or anything like that for...
Yeah.
You know, 4 to 5 hours before you want to go to bed and try.
Oh, I don't drink coffee or smoke anymore. I was about three, I don't know, it was about 4 or 5 weeks ago, I was drinking coffee. And I would be drinking this coffee stuff. So that's what may have thrown me for a thing. But I should exercise more during the day, you know, so I'm more tired at night, I think, you know. And the gyms have been closed. But I went to the gym, but... You know, I haven't been able to get much exercise in, and, you know, I've gotten a few massages recently where this girl's walked on my back and stuff. That's been good, but, still, you know, I still need the Ambien to go to sleep.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's going to be bad because I don't want to do that, you know. I don't want to do that forever, you know. It may cause me some real problems, you know. I don't know if I even got out of where I was living, you know.
Okay, well... I was just going to say we're coming down to our last few minutes of the show. So I'm going to have to leave it there, Nathaniel, but I hope it helps. And don't give up, okay, because, you know, we all go through wobbly times like this. And just, you know, ask for the help you need and give them permission to help you. And that's important, too, right?
So important. Mm-hmm. I agree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What permission to you say?
For help from spirit, you've got to give permission. Permission, because of free will, we have to ask for the help and give them permission to help us, because they can't just sort of interfere. You know, you've got to ask for the help. And, you know, maybe you don't know what kind of help you need, but that will become apparent once you sort of get out of your own way and let the help come through for you. And I don't mean to be unkind, but what an expression came through, Nathaniel, that you want to ponder. If you think you can't, you're right. So try to remember to phrase what you're saying in a positive light, even if it sounds a little bit like BS to yourself at first, like, I am going to get a new place. I am. But make it positive. Because the universe is pretty neutral. And if you ask for the stuff, you don't want, it's going to come through anyway, right? So make sure that you're asking for what you do want, not for what you don't want. And it's, you know, it's tricky, but it's learnable. We're all capable of learning that. And I can tell you for sure that it does work. It really does.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you for all your time and effort and compassion.
Well, sleep well.
And,
sleep well, dear soul, because you know, you're no good without your sleep. and let us know how it goes, would you? Stay strong. You've got it within you to stay strong and to follow the path that your soul wants you to follow.
Yeah, it's really amazing that I'm doing so well because, if you didn't sleep for 2 weeks and just laid in bed, but I think that this might be for some of the pandemic and everything too, and everything. I guess somebody told me that they're not even letting on to how many suicides this has caused.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You never hear about it, but because there's been an awful lot of suicides and, and a lot of people feel really strange. I hear some of the Great Awakening things and, how people are feeling nauseous and ringing in the ears and, not feeling well for all the problems and, shifts we've been going through.
Absolutely. So just remember the power of the mind, and as you think it, it is so, as Shakespeare says, and it really is, you've got to keep a tight rein on that monkey mind, and if it gets carried
just
away.
Yeah, I am happy, I am successful, I'm powerful, I can move, I'm attracting all kinds of money and friends and abundance of all the good things in life.
And just sort of once you make that, once you set the intention, then you got to let it go and let spirit handle it. You got to co-create it. But the thing is, you can't dictate the outcome because the outcome ain't written yet. But go online and if you can't sleep, review the Abraham Hicks videos to start.
Yeah.
Anyway, Nathaniel,
about
about manifesting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Those are really great. They have like little cartoon figures that are on there. Okay.
Hey,
thanks again for everything.
No problem. And let us know how it goes, would you? You've got it going on.
Okay.
I'm just going to pop you on to mute and... So I just want to go to Sue and ask you, Sue, how can people find you if they want to book a reading or get in touch with you?
I am on Facebook, Sue Fields Del Amante, and I am also in the Sacred Embers Network, Sacred Embers Group, on that page.
Yep, fabulous. Jessica, how can people find you and Jaden?
Yes, you can find me on Facebook under Jessica Marie Tatro or in our Facebook group, Jaden's Way Speaks from Heaven. I'm also in the Sacred Embers group as well, and you can find me on the Sacred Embers website.
Wonderful. I'm Lynn Bleasdale, and you can find me also on Facebook in the Sacred Embers group and the Sacred Embers website, and lbleasdale.wixsite.com/Lynn. And as the Sacred Embers website is sacredembersshow.wixsite.com/love. And that's our little Darla, the voice that tells us what is the time's running out. So I'm just going to put our lovely Louie on to sing us out. And I send all of you so much love, Jessica and Sue. As always, I love working with you two. Thank you so much. And thank you to our callers.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good night, everyone.
Good night.
Love and light.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them blue. For me and you, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry. Much more than I never knew, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself.